Carlson, Hirono, Duckworth refusal to confirm white Biden nominees morally repugnant, illegal. By Jeff Poor on March 25, 2021. Wednesday on FNC's Tucker Carlson Tonight. Host Tucker Carlson opened his show ripping Senators Mazie Hirono, DeHi, and Tammy Duckworth, DeIl, for their vow to deny President Joe Biden's white cabinet appointees confirmation unless there was a commitment from the White House for more diversity. Carlson panned the duo's pledge as illegal. Transcript as follows. Carlson, it's funny how no one really covers the big stories. Instead, the news media bring us minutiae all the time, cartloads of it. A middle-aged professional golfer hurts his leg in a car accident, the networks go wall to wall. They gave his car crash more coverage than they gave the bombing of Syria, literally. Then a few weeks later, some weird fake duchess from LA gives a boring interview to Oprah and we stop the presses. It's all we talked about for days. Meanwhile, something legitimately momentous happens and it's crickets. Just yesterday, for example, two sitting members of the United States Senate announced that they oppose the entire foundation of American civil rights law, and then proceeded to attack the core principle, the main principle of our country. So people on Twitter were shocked by it. But otherwise, you'd never really know what happened. But it did happen. Tammy Duckworth of Minnesota and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii publicly informed the White House that until the Biden administration puts more people they like in powerful jobs, they will refuse to confirm any white nominees. Quote, I'm a no vote on the floor on all non-diversity nominees, Duckworth said, out loud with cameras rolling. I will vote for racial minorities and I will vote for LGBTQ, but anybody else I'm not voting for. Just in case you missed it or unclear on the meaning, Duckworth said this several times. And then Mazie Hirono backed her up. Here is Hirono yesterday on MSNBC. Begin video clip. Senator Mazie Hirono, DeHi, Tammy's position is that until she gets a commitment from the White House that there will be more diversity representation in the cabinet and senior White House advisory positions, she will not vote to confirm anyone who does not represent diversity. So this is not about pitting one diversity group against another. I think this is a well-articulated, focused position, and I am prepared to join her in that. Question. Do you think the Biden administration has been adequately receptive to your entreaties for more diversity? Hirono, obviously not. Otherwise, Tammy and I wouldn't be taking our position. We would like to encourage them to do better. End video clip. Carlson, talk about stop the presses. Here you have two actual U.S. senators announcing in public they will deny jobs to people who have the wrong skin color. That's not news? Oh, yes, it is news. But Mazie Hirono and Tammy Duckworth may not realize it's news. In their defense, Hirono and Duckworth are well known as the dimmest politicians in Washington. Neither one could carry a dinner conversation. But not everyone in Congress is stupid or oblivious. Chuck Schumer certainly isn't. The Senate Majority Leader misses nothing. Chuck Schumer has spent his entire life telling us at high volume that racial discrimination is wrong, which obviously it is. Then this week, two of his colleagues go on television and demand racial discrimination. What did Chuck Schumer think of that? Chuck Schumer didn't say a word about it. No one in the Democratic Party did. These are moral pygmies. Some of them would sell their kids if the price was right. Some of them are actually race haters, probably, and they may agree with it. But whatever their motives are, the fact that this happened in public and no one in power said anything about it as it did seems like a turning point in our country. So to recap, the most basic principle we have. It's this: all Americans have an inalienable right given by God, guaranteed by the Constitution, to be judged solely and exclusively on the basis of what they do, of what they choose, not on the basis of their race, or their genes, or who their parents were. Period. That is the entire promise of our country. It's why we're different. It's why people move here from other countries. It's why we're a self-governing republic, because everyone is equal. It's also, by the way, in addition to everything else, federal law. It's written down. What Mazie Hirono and Tammy Duckworth did is not simply morally repugnant. But once again, it is morally repugnant. It's also illegal. Title V of the 1964 Civil Rights Act opens this way. Quote, no person in the United States shall on the grounds of race, color or national origin be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. End quote. You cannot deny an American a federal job because of his race. That is against the law. It has been against the law for nearly 60 years. Racial discrimination in government hiring is a crime. You may have heard that before. It's on the wall of every break room in every office in the United States. In fact, the Civil Rights Act may be the most famous law that we have. But then as now, many prominent Democrats opposed it. Critical race theory is not a new idea, despite what they tell you. In 1964, a third of Senate Democrats voted against the Civil Rights Act. And one of those who did was a man called Robert Byrd. Byrd was a strident supporter of equity, or as it was called at the time, Jim Crow. In 1944, at the height of the Second World War, Robert Byrd wrote a letter to Theodore Bilbo, a fellow Democrat who represented Mississippi in the Senate. Byrd was upset that the Roosevelt administration was giving federal jobs to people with the wrong skin color. Robert Byrd was the Tammy Duckworth of his day. Quote, "I shall never fight in the armed forces with a Negro by my side." Byrd wrote amazingly, "Rather, I should die a thousand times and see Old Glory trampled in the dirt never to rise again." The deceit this beloved land of ours become degraded by race mongrels. A throwback to the blackest specimen from the wilds, end quote. That's real. Robert Byrd wrote that. At the time he did write it, Byrd was working as recruiter for the Ku Klux Klan, which was very much the Yale University of the time, the source of so much poison in our society. 2 years later, Byrd wrote to a well-known critical race theorist called Joel Baskin, who was at the time serving as the grand wizard of their beloved organization. Quote, "The Klan is needed today as never before," Robert Byrd wrote, "and I am anxious to see its rebirth here in West Virginia. It is necessary that the Klan be promoted immediately and in every state in the Union. Will you please inform me as to the possibilities of rebuilding the Klan realm of West Virginia?" End quote. That's real once again. Shortly after he wrote that letter, Robert Byrd abandoned his Klan career. It never paid well. Instead, he decided to run for office as a Democrat. Robert Byrd served in the Congress for nearly 60 years. When Byrd died during Barack Obama's first term, the entire leadership of the Democratic Party came forward to slobber over his memory, including, amazingly, Barack Obama himself. "It is almost impossible to imagine the United States Senate without Robert Byrd," said Hillary Clinton. Byrd was not just its longest-serving member, he was its heart and soul. "For my first day in the Senate, I sought out his guidance," Hillary Clinton said, and of course, she did. Quote, "While some simply bore witness to history," remarked an emotional Nancy Pelosi, "Senator Byrd shaped it and strove to build a brighter future for us all." Vice President Joe Biden, always big on memorials and funerals, went on for perhaps the longest. Biden described Robert Byrd as, quote, "a very close friend of mine, one of my mentors." Here's Joe Biden misquoting William Shakespeare as he celebrates his Klansman mentor. Begin video clip. Joe Biden, D., then Vice President of the United States. "When I learned of his death, I was on an errand for the president in Cleveland. And I said, you know, to paraphrase the poet, we shall not see us like, again, Mr. Leader. We're not going to look upon you like, again. I'm not going to ask God to bless you, because he already has, and I know where you are." End video clip. Carlson, "Oh, but you're thinking that was a long time ago and Biden probably doesn't even remember. That was way back in the summer of 2010 when people just didn't know any better. They thought the Ku Klux Klan was some kind of harmless fraternal organization like the Elks or the Rotary. Right? No, they knew. Underneath it all, they never really disagreed with the core idea, only the colors have changed. There exists in the darkest parts of human nature the instinct to form a mob and attack people for how they were born. Fear of the other is what sociologists call it. They say, it's a function of evolutionary biology. Wherever it comes from, however, you describe this phenomenon. It is real, and it is a grave threat to America. This is an enormous, complex and yes, diverse society. We have very little in common with each other, apart from the fact that we are all Americans. 350 million people live within the borders of this country. Most of us can't leave, so we have to live together. If you want Americans to live peacefully without hurting each other, you have to treat them as individuals, not as members of warring tribes. You have to guarantee that every American has the same, the identical opportunity to work and live and go to school, as well as the same, the identical judgment under the law, equality under the law. You can't just announce that Americans of a certain color can't have jobs. If you do that, things will tend to fall apart very quickly. We fought a war over this once, by the way, 700,000 people died. And it wasn't that long ago that all Americans understood this or pretended they did. But then a new generation of Robert Byrd took control of the Democratic Party and dark and primitive forces have been unleashed. You see them everywhere. You hardly need to be reminded of it. But here's just one example from yesterday. The Nation magazine, the flagship publication of the American left, ran a piece with this title, quote, "I am not ready to re-enter white society." Now this is written by a Harvard Law graduate called Deli Mistel. Here's the open, quote, "I've said here and elsewhere that one of the principal benefits of the pandemic is how I've been able to exclude racism and whiteness, generally, from my day-to-day life. Over the past year, I have, of course, still had to interact with white people on Zoom or watch them on television, or worry about whether they would succeed in re-electing a white supremacist president. But white people aren't all in my face all the time. I can more or less only deal with whiteness when I want to. White people haven't improved, I've just been able to limit my exposure to them." End quote. That's someone who went to Harvard Law School. That is not normal, and it's not healthy, it is open race hate, and it's the beginning of actual destruction. As with Senators Hirono and Duckworth, no one in power said a word about it. So naturally, exhibitions like that accelerate and they become more dangerous. Last week, a corporate-owned website called The Root published a kind of terror manifesto, written by a New York Times contributor called Damon Young. The track begins like this, quote, "Whiteness is a public health crisis. It shortens life expectancies. It pollutes air. It constricts equilibrium. It devastates forests. It melts ice caps. It sparks and funds wars. It flattens dialects. It infests consciousness, and it kills people. So with that, establish that whiteness is the most dangerous force in the world." Young writes this quote, "White supremacy is a virus that, like other viruses, will not die until there are no bodies left for it to infect, which means the only way to stop it is to locate it, isolate it, extract it, and kill it." End quote, and kill it. You have to ask yourself, where is this going exactly? Let's pull back now before we find out. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.